You're listening to SBS News.
Suicide remains the biggest killer of Australians aged between 15 to 25 years of age. Young people and marginalised communities are disproportionately represented in the figures. Minnie is 19 years old and found themselves in a dark place growing up.
There was a lot of things happening in my family. There was multiple family members that had passed away in a couple of years as well. And my dad also went to jail when I was about 9. So that kind of put a rift through the family as well.
Struggling to find support, Minnie began to self-harm and had thoughts of suicide.
It felt like I had nowhere to go, and I felt like I was quite stuck in this dark, deep pit that I couldn't get out. And I felt quite alone, and I wasn't sure what to do and how to get out of this place.
With half of mental health disorders first emerging by the age of 14 and 75% by the age of 24, clinical lead for Youth In Search Leanne Hall says there are several contributing factors to why young people can feel this way.
Part of the reason why these things emerge in those early years, developmentally, there's a lot of brain development that's still going on. There's this thing called neural pruning. We know the brain sort of starts to prune and go through lots of changes. And also young people at that age are going through lots of change in their circumstances as well. They're moving schools, they're forming peer relationships, some of them, more romantic relationships, and conflict with family often comes in as well when they're going through those teenage years. So there's a lot going on.
Given the stigma and cultural sensitivities surrounding mental health, starting open conversations can be challenging. Ms. Hall says there is a perception that asking and talking about suicide could risk increasing suicidal tendencies.
It's okay to actually ask someone if they're okay, and it's okay to ask someone if they're thinking about suicide. There's no research or nothing that suggests that asking someone if they're thinking about hurting themselves is actually going to cause them to do so. So the biggest thing we can do is keep the conversations happening and stay connected.
Minnie was able to start those conversations after being referred to Youth In Search, an Australian peer-led youth trauma recovery organisation. They say it was having someone to talk to that made all the difference.
I always felt growing up, no one would listen to me because I'm the youngest in the family, and it was always everyone else's way, not mine. And I felt just in a general sense, with everything that's happening with my family, no one was going to listen to me. So when I got to Youth In Search, I realised people actually want to listen to me and want to help me be a better person. Even if someone related to the tiniest thing, it made me feel I'm not really alone in my life.
Monday, February the 14th marks the beginning of Youth In Search's End Youth Suicide Week, a campaign aimed at encouraging Australians to start open conversations about suicide among friends, families and communities with the aim of spreading hope and saving lives. They are calling on the federal government to increase funding for programs that prevent youth suicide. Overwhelmingly, members of the LGBTIQA+ community have the highest rate of suicide. Rural populations are 2 times more likely to die by suicide, and almost 1 in 4 young people dying by suicide in Australia are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander populations. Leanne Hall says not enough is being done to support these groups.
Part of the reason, not the whole reason, but part of the reason the statistics are inflated in those groups is because they just don't have access to the services and the supports they need. But most importantly, it's often because they have a distrust in the system. So for many people from those groups, they've had an experience or they've heard of an experience from a friend, for example, that's not gone well, and so they just don't trust the system.
Budi Siddhartho is gay and Muslim and the director of Ananda Training and Consultancy, which specialises in inclusion and belonging. They say intersectionality is a big factor.
Members of our community feel that they have to choose which aspect of their identity they can safely disclose to mental health practitioners. And that's mostly because of their previous experience of having to educate mental health practitioners instead of actually getting the assistance and the help that they needed. And that talks about the bigger systemic issue.
Budi says many mental health organisations are still operating on Western white-centric practice and values.
Even with my knowledge, even with my contacts of the LGBTIQA+ organisations who are offering mental health support, I still have to think whether it's actually safe for me to contact them. Because my experience has been, they are actually not the most culturally safe place for me. So you can imagine if people like me still have to think about that, then imagine someone who actually haven't got a lot of resources, haven't actually been connected to the community, and imagine the struggle that they are feeling just to seek help.
He says we need to look at systematic change within the mental health sector.
We are living in a multicultural society, so we actually need to continue to expand our knowledge. Instead of expecting people who with intersecting identities to conform to the Western model of mental health and to the Western model of health in general. So doing that will take time, it will take courage, it will take the willingness to interrogate the system and to start implementing systemic change. But in doing that, we are actually benefiting a lot of members of our community who are struggling, who's really struggling, and we really need to focus on them. We really need to focus on how can we change the system to benefit them instead of expecting them to fit in with our system.
After struggling in school, Minnie is now pursuing a career in the creative industries and studying a Bachelor of Secondary Education. They shared this important reminder.
We are all not alone. It may feel like it, but there's someone out there that will listen to us and relate to us, even if it's the smallest thing, just taking that big step into reaching out for help will definitely make a difference.
If you need immediate assistance, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14, Kids Helpline on 1800 55 1800, or the Suicide Callback Service on 1300 659 467. If your life is in danger, please call 000. Hannah Kwon, SBS News.